Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Christian Education Sunday, a day in the life of our congregation where we focus on that task of teaching the faith. It's not something that we made up or came to on our own. Our Lord Jesus gave us this command before he ascended into heaven. Right? Teaching the faith, along with baptizing people from all walks of life, is how the Lord intends disciples to be made. Jesus called each of his disciples, saying to them, "Follow me." And so to this very day, the Lord, through the church, continues to call and create disciples who were baptized and taught and follow after Jesus. Teaching the faith, as our Lord commanded, learning what it means to be baptized disciples of Jesus, that's our focus for today. Now, to live in light of that great commission, today we're going to commission our Sunday school teachers, all those who are working with youth and our preschool, our Christian childcare workers, charging them to teach faithfully and also to live lives that reflect the faith given to them. In addition to this, we're going to celebrate milestones in the lives of some of our young disciples, giving Bibles to those who are going into second or third grade, and Luther's small catechism for those who are entering into seventh grade. This week we have an opportunity to gather Wednesday at 10 o'clock to study God's Word together. I mention these because these are all opportunities that are provided to supplement what goes on here in the divine service. They're further opportunities to hear God's Word, to pray, to be encouraged as you live as a disciple of Jesus, live in faith to God and loving service for others. These opportunities to hear, to pray, to live and serve flow out of the divine service because the divine service is the place where we first hear God's Word, where we gather together to pray and we're encouraged and equipped by the Holy Spirit to live in faith to God, because in the divine service, Christ the divine comes to serve us. The divine service reflects how God's people of old lived a life of faith, right? You not only hear about, but receive God's grace and mercy in this place. And as a result, your lives are shaped and formed by that encounter with God. And then you go to the place where you are called to live out your vocations as disciples, whether that be at home or school or work. For this particular Christian Education Sunday, I want to reflect on those words that we heard recorded in the book of Job. The verses from the 38th chapter come at the end of this book. The first two chapters were introduced to Job, his family, his faith, and then his testing, unlike anything that you guys have ever experienced in school. Right? Because Job loses almost everything. The Lord permits the dramatic loss of house and home and health and wealth. Then chapters 3 through 37 record for us a conversation between Job and his well-meaning but misguided friends, trying to explain to Job why all of this misfortune has befallen him. It's as if Job is in the school of hard knocks with the Lord as his teacher and his friends kind of the classroom know-it-alls. Well, Job reaches his breaking point, cries out to the Lord in protest against him and the way that he has permitted these things to happen. And then finally in the 38th chapter, the Lord speaks. Not Job, not his friends who are trying to get him to learn his lesson, but God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. He speaks so that Job can listen and he can hear. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sung together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made its clouds, its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recess of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all of this. If a teacher spoke to you in this tone and with these questions, how might you respond? How do you think Job responded to the voice of the Almighty God asking these questions? Job's reply comes in chapter 40 when he says, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. Did you hear that? Behold, I am of small account. I lay my hand on my mouth. That is the sound of humility. That is the sound of a man recognizing his place and his limit. That is the sound of a man understanding that for as much as he thinks he may know, there is always more to learn, and there are certain things that he will never know or understand. That is the sound of Christian education. See, Christian education is not simply a subject that you learn to master. Nor can it be reduced simply to knowing things about God. Christian education begins with humility, with an understanding that there is one greater than you in all regards, in power, in knowledge, in righteousness, and then seeing yourself rightly in relation to Him. Christian education is not about what you know, it's about who you know, or rather, who knows you. The one who is greater than you in all regards, in power and knowledge and righteousness, he is also the one who is greater than you in your own humanity and in your own humility. The one of whom I speak is, Sunday school answer, Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, who humbled himself so that you would know the mercy, the grace, and the love of God, not only his power and knowledge and righteousness. Right? If you want to know who God is or what he is like, well, then let your eyes be fixed firmly on Jesus. And there you'll see the one who made the sea and all that is in it, the one who even walks upon the waves, the one who commands the water and the wind, and the one who calls men, women, and children to follow him as his disciples. Christian education is knowing Jesus, not simply knowing about Jesus, but knowing, trusting, following Jesus. As Luther says, fear, love, and trust in God, Christ above all things. Believing who he is and what he has done, is doing, and will yet do. God in the flesh, who humbled himself to the point of death upon a cross. Mark this well, brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, Jesus is greater than you in regards to your humility and your humanity. This is true. But he is also greater than you in regards to your sin. This is the purpose. St. Paul records it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Christ Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God." This is the one whom we can trust with all of our hopes and dreams, our fears, our worries, the entirety of our lives, because he is the one who has borne all of our sin in his flesh and put it to death with him on the cross. We can trust him. We can follow him. He took your sin, died your death, so that by his resurrection on the third day you might live his life now and forever. You can live all of your days in the reality that you are his baptized, forgiven, and dearly loved son or daughter. And you can look forward with great hope to the day when he raises you from the grave, just as he has risen and lives forever. This is most certainly true. Amen. But see, to know Jesus, you also have to know about Jesus, don't you? And to know about Jesus, the Lord has so graciously given you parents, pastors, teachers, and others whose beautiful feet bring you the good news of Jesus from his word. We all know that the best teachers are those who teach and also lead by example, right? Those who, like the Apostle Paul, embody, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ," that manner of life. These are the teachers that we want to follow after. And thanks be to God for faithful examples of good teachers that we have here at Faith. We are blessed. But in life, we'll also have those teachers who say, "Well, do as I say and not as I do." Have you had teachers like that before? And if so, did you hold them in high regard? I mean, what lessons would you learn from a teacher who doesn't even know their subject or believe it? What would you learn from a pastor who preaches but doesn't seek to practice what he preaches? Why would children value Sunday school if their parents didn't value Bible study? Lord, help us to keep what we believe and what we practice in line with what you have taught and the example that you have given to us. Now, I'll tell you, in all these things, those who teach must first and always be students. And second, seek to live as examples. Now, this is not to be confused with you have to do it perfectly, because there's not a perfect person among us, is there? It means doing it, though, with humility. It means clinging to Christ, who demonstrates his perfect love for you over and over and over again. It means making the use of the opportunities not only to worship in the divine service, but to study and learn and grow. For this shapes the way that we live, the way that we see ourselves in this world in relation to God, as his creatures, redeemed by the blood of Christ. And it's through this that we are shaped to see one another as others for whom our Lord has also died, that we would be willing to serve them in love and faithfulness. This is what Paul means when he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." May Christ be formed in us as we hear his word, as we receive his gifts, and as we follow after him. So today, we celebrate Christian Education Sunday. We receive our Bibles and catechisms. We commission our workers. But it's not just a one-day thing, a one-and-done deal. Christian education is a lifelong journey where we follow our Lord who has gone before us, the one who formed us, the one who gave the waters its boundary, the one who entered into our humanity to suffer our death, the one who rose from the grave and called us to follow him. He is the one who calls us to be his disciples, lifelong learners, examples of faith, and instruments of his love until the very end of this age. May God grant it for his sake. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.